We're going to turn, God helping us, for the last time to the Gospel of Mark 2020. As far as we know. Mark chapter 10. And this is a rather long chapter. We have been here for a while. And several incidents took place. We come down to the last few verses, beginning at verse 46. For our reading and our text, let us give our attention to God's holy word, the blessed gospel. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and to say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Amen. I do trust that the Lord will bless our meditation upon his word today. We thank God for the Holy Spirit giving his word to the gospel historians. And we thank God for the special emphasis that is put by Mark on this man, Bartimaeus. And may the same Spirit of God come today and speak to our hearts and give us something for our souls that we can carry with us and go in the strength of the meat of God's word. How to be pitied are the unbelieving literary scholars of the Bible. They approach the Holy Scriptures with an air of superiority as though they could teach Almighty God a thing or two. Rather than being like that, the wise man in Ecclesiastes 5 gives us excellent instruction on how we are to approach God and how we are to approach the things of God. We must guard ourselves from pride and irreverence and not blunder over those precious things even where angels fear to tread. We must be more ready to hear than to offer the sacrifice of fools. When unbelieving scholars read Matthew, Mark, and Luke in their accounts of the healing of the blind at Jericho, they go ballistic and quickly declare that the New Testament contradicts itself. I do not claim to be a scholar. I'm just a plain country boy. And so I have to take things and consider them for a while. And I want to say that if the scholars in their haste could somehow pause for a moment of reflection, then I believe they would discern the foolishness of premature conclusions. I want to share with you now the opening words of Matthew, Mark, and Luke regarding this incident, where they say there is clear contradiction. Matthew chapter 20, verse 29 states, as they went out of Jericho, okay? Mark chapter 10, verse 46 says, as we noted in our reading here beginning, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho, okay? So far, so good. Going out of Jericho, right? Now we come to Luke chapter 18, verse 35. As he drew nigh to Jericho. There is no contradiction here at all. Pause. Take a deep breath. That's what they sometimes tell me to do. Do you remember what happened at ancient Jericho? You remember? The children of Israel had marched around it for 7 days. And the Lord caused the walls to fall down flat all around the city, except at one point where the archaeologists have clearly found a difference in the old city. There was one point in the wall where it did not collapse, and that was the very point where Rahab's house stood on the wall. She and her family were the only ones saved from the destruction. And then God tells us at the end of that falling down and the destruction of the city, that the city was burned with fire, burned to ruins. And there was a curse on anybody that would rebuild it. Okay. Now, I had the privilege when I was a young man, 1976, of standing there at the ruins of the ancient city where the archaeologists had been digging. And here's all these ruins of Jericho. If you turn around and look away from the ruins of Jericho, you look down the road just a little ways, you can see it, the modern Jericho, the Jericho that was even rebuilt in biblical times. You can read about it in the Word of God. And there was a curse in Joshua 6, 26. And you can read about it in Kings. It was rebuilt. But it was rebuilt a little ways down the road, away from the ruins. Okay? Do you get the picture then? As Jesus and his disciples make the journey, they go to the old ruins. They go through. They come out of the old ruins. And now, they're coming on the road to the other Jericho, which is built just a little way down the road, away from the ruins. And along the roadside, there are the beggars, blind beggars. Okay, now it's no problem that here Mark centers on one man. He had a tendency to specialize on an event and get down into it more oftentimes than the other gospel writers did. If you notice, if you carefully study his gospel account, you'll notice that. But it's no problem that there is the mention of another blind man in another one of the accounts. Because if you go and you count in the New Testament, you're going to find, to your satisfaction, at least 12 or 16 blind, and maybe many more than that, that Jesus healed during his ministry. So, no problem. So, I believe the Word of God. And when these people get all twisted up and get all worried about the Bible can't be true, I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. Just think about it a little. Just take a breath and say, well, what is this? And the Word of God is so clear. All right. So we are considering this one man that Mark's historical account centers on. His name is Bartimaeus. And in these seven verses, we have before us, first of all, Bartimaeus' great faith. Not just any faith, but a great faith. Then we have the sheer determination of Bartimaeus. And then thirdly, Christ's sure mercy. So let us note here in the first two verses, we have Bartimaeus' great faith. Verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. In a most unlikely place and in a most disadvantaged person, we find great faith. Jericho was rebuilt and it was under a curse. A cursed place. Joshua 6:26. In that cursed place was a poor blind beggar. And what an illustration of ourselves. We are all born as spiritually blind beggars, dwelling in our own darkness of sin. Bartimaeus had never seen Christ. Bartimaeus had never seen him raise people from the dead. He had never seen him raise sick people and people from all kinds of varied diseases. But, obviously, he had heard of Jesus of Nazareth. And when, in this commotion of this great multitude coming down the road, he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth. And he cries out. He doesn't just say, can somebody get Jesus to come over here? No. He cried out, I need the Lord. So the eyes of Bartimaeus' understanding had been opened. And Bartimaeus, even though he had not seen Jesus, he had heard of Jesus. And we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And here was the Word of God incarnate. He had heard of it. And he begins crying out, Jesus, thou Son of David! And what did he mean by that? He believed that Jesus was the prophet who had come and could open the eyes of the blind, fulfilling the prophecies of Isaiah in chapter 29, verse 18, in chapter 35, verse 5. And how many times have we heard that sung in Handel's Messiah? How beautiful the words. Then shall the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. You know how Handel did it so eloquently. And this is the one. This is the real Son of David. He's come. Bartimaeus was satisfied that Jesus was the promised Messiah. He was the one that had already healed many, and he was able to open his blind eyes. Oh, how the faith of that blind man put so many unbelieving souls to shame. You, my friends, have natural eyesight. What a blessing it is. If we just look around, if we just think a little, life is very rushed. There's so much to do. But it's okay just to look and think a little. As we look with our eyesight, we are to behold the wonders of God's great creation. That every day testifies of his eternal power and his very triune nature is expressed in the creation. His eternal power and Godhead, his deity. You have in your home, do you not, the Holy Scriptures. You have in your hand the Holy Scriptures. But the question is today, are you making personal use of the Scriptures? He was as a blind man, having none of these advantages, yet believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only did Bartimaeus have great faith, but he had also the sheer determination that would not give up, that would not take no for an answer. Look at verse 48. Verse 48, and many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Though there was a crowd between him and Jesus, he would not be deterred. He cried out, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Well, many in the crowd sharply rebuked him. They commanded him to hush, to be silent. But their words had the very opposite effect. Bartimaeus cried out much more loudly and continuously, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. You know, when a person begins to seek the Lord in earnest, there will always be some that try to discourage and say, hey, you're too serious. Don't get in a hurry about this. You're going too far. So many examples of that in history. I think one of the saddest examples is Jonathan Edwards' grandson. It breaks my heart to think of the great evangelist, pastor, Jonathan Edwards, and his grandson, Aaron Burr. Aaron Burr was a student in the midst of a great revival at the college. And many people were coming to Christ. And Aaron was deeply stirred. And he went to one of the very cold-hearted professors, I would say. And he said to him, I really have a deep stirring in my soul to come to Christ. And the professor said, well, you know, now there are the fires of spiritual revival going on. There's a lot of excitement. He said, why don't you just wait until all of the excitement is over. And then you can just intelligently think about this and make an intelligent decision. And so he did. He waited. And near the end of his life, as he was with some of his grandchildren who were truly converted to Christ, one of them said, Grandpa, why don't you trust Jesus? And Aaron said, I want to tell you. He told him that experience. And he said, now there is no stirring within my heart at all. I have no desire. It would be good if I did, but I have nothing in regard to the Lord. There are always those who will discourage a person when they begin to seek the Lord. Oh, you're going too far. Just calm down. But the heart knows its own bitterness. And it is only those that know the hopelessness and misery of spiritual blindness that will earnestly seek relief. Have you ever sensed the deep, hopeless misery of spiritual blindness? And you do, you will seek relief. And there's no relief except in Christ. Do not be deterred by what other people say. Now notice, it was those who seemed to be following Christ in that multitude. They were telling them to shut up. But what does the Word of God say in Matthew 11, verse 12? The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. There is a time for spiritual violence in seeking Christ. when the sense of our guilt as it really is, and we have that, we will not rest until we find pardon and peace in Jesus Christ. Bartimaeus persevered in the midst of those discouragements, seeking Christ until he was healed. Now, we have briefly noted Bartimaeus' faith and his determination. Finally, we come to Christ's sure mercy. Notice verse 49. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way or in the road. Jesus stood still. What a marvelous thing. He was making progress onward, going in that last journey to the city of Jerusalem. And we've already studied just before this, he had said that he was straitened. He was greatly burdened, pressured within to get there and to finish the cross work for our salvation. And Jesus, in that forward progress toward Jerusalem, he stops, he stands still. He would halt and not go forward in order to do good to a needy soul. Here we see the kindness, the love and mercy of Christ for individuals. We think about Christ dying, and we think about a great mass of people he dies for. But what a personal thing salvation is. He is the shepherd of a vast flock of sheep, and yet he will go after the one lost sheep until he finds him and brings him safely into the fold. That's the kind of shepherd we have. He stood still for this one beggar, and he commanded him to be called. Oh, what a sovereign, mighty call it was. It was the effectual call of the King of Kings. He said, bring him. Bring him. Christ could have cured Bartimaeus instantly where he was, over there, the roadside. But Christ would show visibly and clearly that he takes souls out of nature's darkness and brings them forth into the realm of his marvelous light. What an impact Christ's effectual call has on others that hear and see his work. How amazing it is to see and to meet new brothers and sisters in Christ. We had a dear brother who prayed with us on Friday from over in Madison County. And it is a delight to my soul every time I'm with this brother, having met him recently, and to hear him pour out his soul to God in prayer. I want to tell you, what God has done in that brother's life is constantly a blessing to me. To see in others that Christ has effectually called his work, called, you know, and done that work in them, is just such a marvelous thing. So they called the blind man and they said, Be of good comfort. It's comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. You know, these same people that had been his discouragers. Isn't that something? Because of the mighty voice of the King, these people who had been discouragers become his encouragers. I think that's pretty interesting. And then verse 50, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Bartimaeus threw aside his outermost garment. He would not be hindered. He wouldn't be tripped up by it. He wouldn't be held back. He's still a blind man. It could have fallen. And, you know, he threw it away. Just got rid of it there as he's coming. You know, to come to Christ, we must throw aside some things. We must throw aside our flimsy cover. And where do a lot of people hide behind? A lot of people hide behind a flimsy profession of religion. Many people hide behind their own pride and their own selfish, their own self-righteousness, which is just filthy rags. And so he throws his garment back. He gets up out of his sins. He comes to Jesus, and we have to get up out of our sins to come to Jesus by faith. Verse 51, Jesus answered and said unto him, you know what we have to do? We have to start listening, really listening to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to him. He said, my sheep hear my voice. The Lord asked a question. He already knew the answer. The question was not at all asked by our Lord in order to gain information that he did not possess. Rather, he asked for two reasons, I believe, he asked the question. He asked it for the sake of Bartimaeus, and he asked the question also for the sake of the multitude. He asked the question to Bartimaeus because the Lord had already given a command. In his preaching, he gave it more than once. Ask, and it shall be given you. You know, many people do not have because either they're too lazy or they're too proud or too whatever to ask God. They have not because they ask not. So, the Lord turned it back on Bartimaeus. Ask, and it shall be given you. I say that he also asked there for the, what is it you want? For the sake of the multitude. Because the multitude needed to understand that this was indeed the great prophet that had risen among them. This was truly the Son of David. You must ask. He'd already cried out for mercy, yes. But God would have us to ask for specifics. Not just for general mercy, but for a particular need. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He that formed the eye could certainly heal it. Misery was asking relief from mercy and immediately received his sight. God's power was sure. His promise was true. Jesus said, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Divinely given faith had connected Bartimaeus to God's infinite power. Bartimaeus had received the grace of God indeed. And you see what else happened? Christ said, go thy way. But because of this miracle of grace, the miracle of grace worked further to merge Bartimaeus' way into Christ's way. The goodness of God had merged Bartimaeus' way to Jesus' way, and the scripture says that he followed Jesus in the way. From henceforth, the road that Jesus walked was the road that Bartimaeus walked. The true effect of real converting grace is that it makes a person a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace really experienced will make a pardoned sinner say, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits? So I ask today, have your eyes been opened by the Spirit of God? Because we are naturally spiritually blind. Have you been taught by grace to see sin and Christ, holiness and heaven in their true light? Have your eyes been opened to Christ? Can you honestly say from the depth of your being, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. The man that Jesus healed from his blindness there in the environs of the temple, he could say that. And y'all can say all you want to say about him, but I can tell you this, I know that I was a blind man, and now I can see. It is that definite and real a change that comes when we truly come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this account which Thou hast preserved for us of this blind man, Bartimaeus, who was given his sight. Oh Lord, we thank Thee. And even as John Newton said in his old hymn, I once was blind, but now I see. I know that Jesus told the religious people, the Pharisees, they said they saw and they understood, but they really didn't. Lord, what a wonderful thing it is to know that we're blind and to be brought graciously out of that blindness. Please bless Thy word to our hearts this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.